Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. For today's show, we're going to be discussing self-care, so please feel free to participate or just listen. And with that said, let me welcome my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you? Oh, boy, here we go again. Kat, call back in, honey, if you can hear me. Well, let me just put it this way. We are having technical difficulties, and Kat is calling back in. Please visit our Facebook page where we would like you to check like. We would like you to make comments on the show if you can, or if you have any, and we would like you to suggest topics for the show, because we really appreciate topics from our listeners. And you can find us on The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards on Facebook. And Kat is with us. So, Kat, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All things considered, I'm doing very well. Life throws us all whammies now and then, and I had one thrown at me today. But, you know, we roll with the punches the best we can and deal with emotions. And so, you know, I'm okay, you know. I have to always have to count my blessings. Whenever something is disturbing me, I want to come back to a sense of equilibrium, and the way I do that is to count my blessings. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I often count my blessings anyway, especially when I think about how far I've come and the challenges and the hardships that I've been through. Mm-hmm. I definitely count my blessings then. So, yes, I agree with you.
Well, I think it is important to count our blessings each step of the way. And the way I remember to do that is by staying mindful. Because when I'm not, I tend to forget, and I'm not in a place of gratitude, and I'm grateful we have a caller, and it's our good friend Al. He's called in, so we'll be glad to hear what he has to share on the subject of self-care. And I didn't do any research this week, Kat. I was busy running around today, and I usually do last-minute research, and I went out to buy a new suit. I had to take care of myself, callers, because I got myself into a situation where I was not practicing discernment, and I took on someone as a roommate who I thought I could trust that I could not, and he's stolen from me, and that's what's caused some ripples on my serenity today, and I had to run out and buy a new suit and a few other things. And so, you know, that made me very unhappy, and I felt betrayed and violated. And I think it is important for us to be in touch with our feelings and work through them the best we can, sit with them for a while so that we are being true to ourselves and to our life experience, and then hopefully move on to something that feels a little bit better. So, Kat, what do you have to say about self-care? What have you gleaned, and what has been your experience around that?
I don't think I've always been very good at it. I'll be honest. I think I can improve even now. I know I can improve. I think I beat myself up a lot about not doing more, and that isn't good either, I suppose. But then I have to remember that I am taking action steps towards self-care. And I am doing things that are unlimiting me by choosing things. And I think number one self-care on the list is food. And, you know, we can indulge in all sorts of yummy stuff, but as soon as you start to think, oh, feeling a bit overweight, or my tummy is not feeling very happy or whatever, it's time to rein it in. It's time to think about what you're actually eating, and it's time to consider how you're affecting this vessel for your life, which is your body. So at the moment, my major focus for self-care is on food. I've had some medical issues that mean I have to focus on food, but I've had to change my diet because I started a full-time job sitting at a desk, and what I could eat before when I was physically busier, I can't eat now. And so I've had to go through a big change in self-care for that reason, because I started putting on weight. And I don't like that. I'm uncomfortable. I like being slimmer. So, and one of the reasons I like being slimmer is because I fit my clothes. And I don't want to have to go out and buy new clothes. Clothes are expensive in Australia. So I don't want to have to do that. It's an unnecessary expense. If I can just lose the weight, I'll be able to wear the clothes again. So, no, but self-care, it can be a last thing that you think about, especially when you're looking after everybody else. Have you ever experienced that, David?
Oh, not me. And denial's not just a river in Egypt. Yes, I have been guilty of spending too much time focusing on the needs of others to my own neglect. And I can relate to you in that I have a long way to go as far as self-care, at least from my past. And even in my present, there's a lot of things that I can do. At least I'm aware of what those things are. Now I just need to put it into practice. And I think in the past, as you talked about, beating oneself up is something that is so easy to do when you're not taking care of yourself. And there's no cause to do that. Instead, I found that it's more helpful to focus on what I can do rather than to berate myself for those things I haven't done in the past, because, as it said, the past is a canceled check and the future is a promissory note, and it comes down to being present. And when I am present and focus on what my needs are for today, then I'm more likely not to fall into the trap of neglecting something that could be important for me to do. How about you?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that self-care is about being present, very much so. It's being aware of what you're doing for yourself, to yourself, and of yourself. You know, we're often taught give. And so we give to everybody or everything. At some point, you need to have some boundaries, and you need to say, no, I got to give to me. I've got to give to me. And we have, you know, we've been taught, oh, you can't be selfish, you can't be selfish. But really, let's be realistic. You need to have some level of selfishness in order to be able to function. If you made a meal and didn't eat from it yourself, let everybody else eat, you go hungry. Eventually you begin to wilt and then you die. You must also eat from the table. So it's important that you think about the mindset and what's in your heart when it comes to self-care. Because if it's about an agenda that is self-serving at the detriment of others, that is completely different to an agenda that is self-serving so that you are better at helping others. So we have to, I'd like to just, you know, reframe that for anyone who's sitting there thinking, oh no, I can't give to myself. I can only give to others. And, you know, being a martyr, it seems like a really, you know, amazing thing to be a martyr, but you've got to do the right by you. Often you hear psychologists talk about treating yourself as you would your best friend. And I think that's the way out of a lot of issues, is you start to really love into yourself. The more that you dive into that, the more that your life opens up and the limitless nature of the universe is before you. What do you think, David?
I think that's so important. You know, it really does come down to self-love in a sense, doesn't it? And
yes.
We all need to take care of ourselves first of all before we can start to focus on helping other people. It's like that old analogy of being on an airplane and the oxygen masks fall. Now, if you don't put your own oxygen mask on first, you're going to run out of air when you're trying to help other people. So if you put on your oxygen mask, then you'll be useful to other people. So you need to take care of number one. It's interesting. I just did a little Googling, and there are actually 8 main areas of self-care, according to Modern Therapy Online. There's physical, psychological, emotional, social, professional, environmental, spiritual, and financial. That's a lot more than I was thinking of. And I can see ways in which I have been successful at all of those things and ways in which I have failed. And so I think that it really is an important topic for us to share about. And you know, I would be interested in what Al has to say. So why don't I go to him now, and then we can come back.
Yes,
oh,
let's do that.
Here's something very interesting. It had one of the questions was, what does the Bible say about self-care? And I clicked on that. I was curious. And it has one quote that is quite comforting to me, and I don't go through the whole thing because I think of it as what the universe or higher power can give to us. And it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a nice notion?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Al, I'm coming to you. Hi there.
Hi, David. Hello, Kat.
Hi, Al.
I liked what you both have had to say. Kat, I liked your distinction about self-care, when we're taking care of ourselves, and it also is serving a larger purpose, not just ourselves in the end, but our ability to take care of ourselves and take care of, I suppose, like our community and others. I also have not always been very good at self-care. I've gotten a lot better at it over time. I've been pretty good about managing things financially, and I think I've had a pattern in the past of not always noticing my own needs and taking care of others, and I've been working counter to that, to not do that. So I especially appreciate how you distinguished a better way of taking care of ourselves and, in the larger purpose, taking care of others. I think maybe David also mentioned, I'm not sure you use these exact words, but, centering ourselves so that we can notice what it is we do need. And I'm kind of like you, Kat, that I use food in a well, you didn't say this, but I also have a different kind of problem with food, where I kind of use it to nourish myself emotionally. And that's that's perhaps an example of where we're trying to take care of ourselves emotionally, but not in a productive way. So not in a way that helps us in the long term. So I've been trying to change my relationship with food, and been pretty doing okay with that. I have my ups and downs, but generally I'm doing all right with it. And on the physical side of stuff, I've been going to the gym. And again, I've been up and down over the years with that. I guess I might add that part of self-care is perhaps not getting discouraged by the times that we're not doing so well at things. Part of self-care is maybe being gentle with ourselves, because when we don't do well, it can be easy to give up on ourselves or kind of think, well, what's the use? And of course, there's a lot of usefulness, and just even if we have to keep returning to the same issue, if we just keep coming back to it, it's like a practice, really. That we get all these opportunities to keep practicing taking care of ourselves, even if we sometimes fail. But the more that we keep practicing, the better we're going to get at it. And that's how I have chosen lately to look at things when it comes to, times when I've slipped on food or on exercise or whatever else in my life, to be gentle with myself, to keep coming back at it, to maintain hopefulness. And I guess that's all I have to say. And thank you for the opportunity to say a few things.
Well, thank you, Al. I really liked what you said about being gentle on yourself. To me, that is self-love and respecting yourself, self-respect. And, when we aren't gentle on ourselves, we tend to be harsh with other people, too. And that's a form of judgment in both directions. And I find that judgment never serves me well. When I judge other people, quite frequently I'm judging something within myself that I don't like. There's an expression that says when you point a finger at somebody else, there are three fingers pointing back at you. And that's kind of off the subject, but I think that it is very important to be gentle with ourselves and gentle with other people, too. And sometimes we need to practice tough love with ourselves and other people when we get off track or when they have in some ways violated us. I'm planning on doing that with my roommate, and I'm going to hold him accountable for what he's done to me and get him the hell out of my life. So at any rate, that's where I'm at right now in the present moment, and I'll have more to share later. Kat, what would you have to say at this point? Did I lose you again, Kat? Let's see here.
Sorry, I had myself on mute.
Oh,
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
I had myself on mute. My son was walking around, so I didn't want to disturb everybody by background noises. So when we're thinking about self-care, we can imagine it's like a wheel. And often in life coaching, we use a wheel of life, we call it, and it has different wedges within it that you can see when you do this particular exercise. You can see what aspects are you doing well in and what aspects you need to fill and you need to put more time into. And you touched on it before with the different aspects of self-care, so being physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, personal and professional. And I would also put in there financial, which I think also you mentioned.
Yeah.
So psychological self-care is really, really important, and it's probably the starting point because the way that we think affects everything in our lives. And when we think about ourselves, if we think about ourselves with hateful thoughts, I hate my body, I hate my life, I have a shit life, I have nothing, I'm no good, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, all of these kinds of thoughts, we're not caring for ourselves at all. And we're starting to create a situation where we're setting up false beliefs which will affect our physical lives because they will begin to affect our behavior. And then that will then lead to a degradation in all other aspects of care for ourselves. Even if we are somebody who's, you know, like a gold digger or a con person, con man or a con woman, you would still find that there would be extreme detriment in one or another area of your life if you were self-serving in that way. For example, I don't expect somebody who's a professional liar to have really fulfilling relationships. So to have a balance in your life, you really have to think about yourself psychologically as somebody who is worthy of love. And you're worthy of becoming and feeling and knowing. And yesterday I did a speaking engagement in the evening at a local spiritual church here in Brisbane, and I talked about this guy that I'd heard on Joe Rogan, and I'm just going to try and look it up and mention it. I think that it would be very important for anybody who does not believe in themselves to listen to this story. It's from the JRE clips on YouTube, and Joe Rogan speaking to a gentleman called Nick Yaris. And he was an unfortunate path. I won't go into it too deeply. Just said he ended up being falsely accused of rape and murder and ended up experiencing extreme violence in the prison system in the USA. He chose revenge on the prison guards, but his revenge wasn't to go and attack them back. It was to love himself. And I find this person to be incredibly inspirational, and I want to hear more about his story because he realized he was struggling to speak. He was struggling to articulate words and string sentences together, so that's where he started with his self-care. He started to teach himself to speak properly, and he started to teach himself to read and write properly, and then he started to help others. And so his psychological welfare was something that he could only affect. He could let them, they could beat his body, but they couldn't affect his mind unless he let them. So your psychological state is your most powerful state. And so it must be the place where you start with self-care. Your emotional state has to be something that is cared for as gently as a baby, because we hurt on an even deeper level emotionally than we do physically. And I'm sure we're all adults here listening to this, and if you're not, then you will still have felt emotional pain. Emotional pain is something that can last a lifetime. It is a deep wound or a shallow cut, but it is a far, far deeper experience of pain than a physical wound can be. And so we have to be careful of our emotions. And if we don't understand our emotions, then we need help to understand our emotions, which is what counselors and psychologists are for. We really need to utilize that part of the human knowledge. It's very, very important. Our spiritual practice, not everybody wants to have spiritual practice. And so it is in the self-care wheel, but it is there as an option, I think, because, you know, people are atheists. There's people out there that are atheists who don't have spiritual practice, so we shouldn't think that everybody has it. But I also have had plenty of times when I couldn't actively have spiritual practice because I had a newborn baby and, you know, my time was taken up feeding and caring for someone else. Spiritual practice then becomes something deeper. It becomes something about connection and taking moments of time to feel that connection and to replenish through connection with all things, not just internally, but all things. And in doing so, you have spiritual practice no matter where you are. Personal self-care has to be about setting goals and planning and looking for achieving. And in doing that, you encourage your life forward in a way that brings more success and more care. So think about what you are doing to achieve, because that personal self-care is really, really important. And put the time into yourself to set plans in motion so that you can achieve. What you lay down today will bear you fruit in the future. Professionally and financially, we need to put forward a pathway of success as well. And so sometimes that means, no, I'm not going to give you $10. Yes, you may say, but you can't stay long. Or, I'm sorry, I don't have enough food to offer you, but I can give you some. I can give you a snack. You must have some sort of limits and boundaries around yourself financially. And you must also have limits and boundaries around yourself professionally, because we can allow our profession to take up our lives. So there's just a few things about self-care on the self-care wheel. I'll just finish with physical. Men in particular aren't very good at going to the doctor until there's no other choice. And that's just a documented fact. I think that getting regular medical care would actually improve the lifespans of plenty of guys. But I also think that all human beings need to eat well, sleep well, regularly exercise. And we need things like physical intimacy, which is why companion animals are so important in our lives, to have someone to hold, to have someone to talk to deeply in an intimate way, to be with, to sleep next to. It's very, very important. And so if you don't have a human being that you can have that intimacy with, adopt an animal to have the physical intimacy. And of course, I'm not talking about sexuality there. I'm talking about something far deeper and more loving than that. Okay, that's me. I've ranted on it long enough. Over to you, David.
No, that was great. And I liked what you were saying about how psychological might be near the top of the list, and emotional, as I discerned it from what you were saying. And I was relating that to my own life because for whatever reason in my past, I came to believe that it was a sign of weakness to reach out for help. And I developed mental health problems in my 20s and was very resistant to reaching out for help initially. And once I did, I realized that that was actually a strength. It was a form of taking care of myself. And with it came a reduction in emotional distress. And I was able to become more balanced psychologically. I required medicine, you know. And that's not just psychological, it's physical, because, you know, the medicine stabilized my biochemical situation that had caused this bipolar disorder. So I liked what you were saying about that. And, of course, if we don't take care of our bodies, as you were alluding to, we're not going to be here for a long time, and so the rest won't matter anymore. And presumably most of us want to live long, happy, and healthy lives. And so it is very important to take care of the body. And, you know, I liked all the things you said. The things I might add to it, which we've talked about before and you've talked about before, sitting in nature, walking in nature, perhaps doing something nurturing like taking a nice relaxing bath. Be sure to hydrate yourself and get a good amount of sleep. That can cause all kinds of problems if you don't get enough sleep. And just sit down and have a refreshing cup of iced tea or hot tea or anything like that that's nurturing. I think that that's a very important part of self-care, is self-nurturance. And again, that comes back to an act of love, self-love. So those are just a few thoughts that I had along the way. Let's see, I just wanted to read this. It says, how do you define self-care? Who defines self-care is the ability of individuals, families, and communities to promote health, prevent disease, maintain health, and to cope with illness and disability or without the care. Oh, my God, I think that's the World Health Organization is what WHO is. So I'm going to just let go of that because it didn't make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, I think the bottom line when it comes to self-care is promoting a sense of well-being at all of the levels that we discussed earlier. And I'm trying to think of some other examples from my life regarding self-care, and I'm going to turn it back to Al for a minute in case there's any thoughts that have come up for him. Maybe Al's not still with us, or maybe he's muted. Let me check. There's Al.
Hello. Yes,
hi.
I had done Ms. Kat had done. Hi, I had muted myself and was searching for my unmute. I don't really have anything else I want to add, but thank you for the opportunity.
Sure, no problem. You know, I liked what you said about, Kat, what you said about spiritual being an option. For me, it serves me very well, but there have been points in my life where I've neglected that. Because I've had other things going on that I've had to take care of that have taken priority. But I will say this about the spiritual aspect, is when I do that, I tend to be more balanced in all those other areas. For me to maintain a good meditation practice or to do yoga, which combines the physical and the spiritual, that really centers me, and that brings me back to this point of how important it is to remain present to the moment. So I'm belaboring that. Kat, maybe you have some other thoughts and as I collect my own.
Oh, no, I agree. The spiritual aspect is incredibly important. And yoga is, the word yoga means unity. It is unifying the physical and the spiritual. And it is very, very satisfying. The thing with stretching is it helps to release. It's a release. And when we have that release, out comes other things that no longer serve us. And, you know, there's the biochemical release, but also stored up in there is an emotional release as well. And I've had some pretty profound experiences just from stretching and going into spontaneous meditation. It's deeply moving at times. I think that, you know, part of it is following your heart when it comes to self-care. When you follow your heart, you begin to listen to the truth on the wind and you begin to start to see that everything is in flow. You start to relax with it a little. The flux is not a fearful thing. You begin to meet others who are also following their heart. And so your experiences become easier because you're in with people who love themselves. And one of the things that I often tell people to do is to remember who they are. As part of my coaching practice, I will tell people to go find that shoebox full of old photographs and newspaper clippings and school reports and go back to when they were growing up and remember. In the remembering, when we remember who we are, we remember that we love ourselves. And then when we go into a place of self-love, we remember that actually we're surrounded by goodness. And when we remember that we're surrounded by goodness, we remember that we're safe and that we can. And when we do that, then we start to grow. The tree doesn't grow if it doesn't feel secure in the ground, just as we don't grow when we don't feel secure. And when we move beyond survival mode and we begin to feel stronger and stronger in ourselves, we start to really self-actualize. I was talking with my son the other day. His father used to always try and he used to always say to me, well, you need to be grateful because you've got just your very basics covered. And I am grateful that just my very basics are covered. But if I'm only covering my very basics, food, clothing, shelter, if they're my only things that are covered, I am in only survival mode. And I am not able to self-actualize. My self-care is limited to survival. And survival is important. And there's a lot of people out there who are having to deal with just survival. And I was in survival mode for a very long time, so I understand it. But at some point, there has to be something, some way that you give to yourself during that time that lights up your heart. And that's when you start to see a deeper way, a deeper way, a deeper way. And the deeper way is the self-care way. It's the way of self-love. And then you start to find that, oh, actually, I could do these things I really wanted to do. I can achieve these things I really wanted to achieve, one step at a time. I watched a TED Talk a couple of weeks ago about this gentleman who lived in the forest. He came from Northern Rivers region of New South Wales. It's a very, very beautiful part of the world, around Byron Bay. he had dyslexia and came from a dysfunctional home. He was abused as a little boy. He grew up angry. He got to a point with that he liked to fight. He liked to hurt. The more that he hurt others and he hurt himself, he felt nothing, and he liked that. But it brought him to a place where he tortured his wife. He didn't love his wife, and he lost everything, and he ended up living in the forest as a hermit for 10 years. And eventually he came into town incredibly emaciated, very, very sick. And it was that will to survive that brought him into town to go to the hospital. And they fixed him up, patched him up, and, of course, you know, he's responsible for his own life, so they were just going to send him back out into the wilderness. And he chose to say, well, actually, I need a different way. So at the age of 45, he went back to high school, and he got his year 10, and then he got his year 12, and then he did an entry-level course into university. He got into university, and eventually got all the way to becoming a professor. And he did it because he got to rock bottom, and then he dug deeper into the bottom rock until he couldn't dig deeper any further, and then he turned around and realized the answer was to love himself, to go into self-care. And then once again, it was education that brought him through, really, really putting that time into himself, choosing to learn. When we learn about ourselves, we care for ourselves. And when we start to learn about other things that interest ourselves, the inner being begins to shine because it remembers who it is. So in some respects, it's a remembering, and in some respects, it's a learning. Self-care is an amazing thing. I think that it's something that children should be taught from a very young age. Do you agree with that, David? Is there anything you'd want to add to that? Are you there, David?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Okay. I had muted myself.
Today.
Yeah, and now I forget what the question was. But I did want to back up to go back to the concept of putting yourself first, and there are a few suggestions here that I wanted to share. One of which we did touch on, maybe two. But one thing here, it suggests making a list of your priorities and keeping it short. And that has been an important thing that I have done in my life. In the past, I would make these to-do lists that were outrageous. And I think it's important to try to simplify your life and not put a lot of pressure on yourself, because that's not a form of self-care. So when I make up a to-do list now, I keep it as short as I can, and I don't beat myself up if I don't get something on it done. It goes on the top of the to-do list for the next day. Asking for help, I've talked about that. That can be done in many ways. You can ask for help from family, friends, your community, doctors. Remembering to put yourself first sometimes involves doing things that are difficult. And an example from my life, which also has to do with asking for help, was to join a 12-step program because I was having a problem with alcohol and had become very dysfunctional in my life. What I was doing with it was medicating myself so that I would seemingly feel better, but it only made my life unmanageable. And so there was no real self-care going on at that point in time. From the outside, it looked like I was managing my life, but the inside was torment, and my relationships were suffering. A lot of things were falling by the wayside. And so it was a real difficult thing to admit. It was a difficult thing to reach out for help. But when I did, I was given a lot of suggestions from people who'd been there. And I think that's also an important thing to keep in mind, is that if you're struggling with something, it's wise to seek out people who have been there that can offer you suggestions on how they have gotten out of a difficult situation. So that was very helpful to me. And we did talk about keeping a balance between treating yourself and giving to others. Maybe we didn't focus so much on treating yourself, but I think it's really nice to reward yourself along the way. And I think it's very important, at least I've discovered that it's very important, and I did not practice this in my past, to find something fun to do every day. Even if it's just for 5 minutes, preferably an hour or more, but we don't all have that degree of time. I do believe that we all have an inner child that lives within us and that yearns to have fun, that yearns to not take life so seriously. And so many of us as adults do that. And it doesn't create a lot of happiness. So those were a few things I wanted to add. And I saw one other thing that I thought was interesting. And that was some ways to build self-improvement into your daily routine and let go of negative thoughts. We talked about cultivating gratitude. Greet everyone you meet. I mean, a stranger, you can just give them a simple smile, and quite often that smile is reflected back at you, and that can be a very nurturing thing. And it's an act of giving and receiving. It's very important for me to use positive self-talk. It's so easy to become unconscious and get into old habits of beating yourself up. And, of course, that's not a kind thing to do to yourself. That's not a form of self-care. Practicing random acts of kindness is a wonderful way to take care of yourself and spread some joy around the world, a little bit of love. And we talked about eating well and getting enough sleep. And how about this? Just breathing consciously. When we do that, we center ourselves. When we do that, we are alive and thriving and living. So those were just a few other things I had to share. And so that's about it for me. Kat, if you want to follow up with any final thoughts, and then I believe it's your turn to do the meditation, unless I'm wrong.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I just wanted to agree with you about the having fun thing. So important that we remember to have fun. And it has to be part of self-care. We need to laugh and play. Otherwise, what's the point in life? Have fun. Take the time out to do it. Do something that's fun. Listen to funny things. Talk about funny things. Be funny. It's good. It's really, really good. Okay, so let's go into the meditation. So put both feet flat on the ground, facing up, eyes closed, deep breath, release, breathe in. Release. Breathe in. Release. No matter where you are in the world, whether it's night or day, the sun is shining. The sun beautiful, beautiful ball of light in the sky, the center of our solar system, the sun. Cast your mind's eye onto the sun. And it's warm. It's not too hot, not too cold, it's warm. And it has quality, the light of the sun. Let this quality light flow through you. Light nurtures you. Let it come through as water seeps through a sponge. Let the light come through your body. Let it ignite every cell. And as it flows through, each cell lights up, and any darkness in the cell is transmuted and removed. And you feel stronger as the light flows through. It's coming down your torso and on all your internal organs, and it's flowing and it's pushing out and it's transmuting anything that is not worthy of love. And you begin to glow. There's no more in there now. There's no more unhelpful energy. It's all been transmuted now. You're just filled with light. You begin to glow. And that feeling of glowing is in your heart. And it's so warm, it feels like your heart is the sun. And you realize that divine magnetism in the sun. And there's divine magnetism in your heart. And as you desire something of truth, something that is worthy of developing in your life for the greatest good of you and for those that you love, the divine magnetism brings it to you. Do that. Circumstance, opportunity, physical necessity, whatever it is. And as you focus more on that heart's desire, and you realize that heart is desiring self-love and care, and that which supports self-love and care. It feels good. It feels right. And you know. You just know. And so as you go about your day, you can feel that sense of security in knowing where the divine magnetism is, and how to fill yourself with light, and how to feel and remember the truth of who you are, because it's all in your heart. And when you're ready, open your arms.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you.
And thank you, Al, for tuning in today and participating. I appreciate that. So, we end a little bit early, and that's perfectly okay. We hope that we will obtain some more people that want to participate in the future. And if you just want to listen, as you may be doing now, that's fine. If you're listening to the podcast, please consider tuning in live with us and sharing in the discussion. The more perspectives we get, the happier we might be. So with that said, I'm going to wish everybody a good day and good night. And Kat, I'll be in touch with you in just a moment.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.